Amen. Well, we want to get into some things, and if you notice on the top of your notes, and I hope this isn't too small for you to read, but we're doing the half sheet, and I'm interested in your view on that. I don't know, maybe I won't always even do that as far as even notes. I kind of like not doing notes, but I want you to become strong in God, and I think having these notes so that you can review them, go over them as much as possible is a great idea. At the top, you'll notice, and it's up on the big screen, or will be in a couple of seconds here, we're in a series entitled Church, the Purpose God Intended. This is part 9 of that series. It's taken us a little bit of time to get into this. 2 weeks ago, because last week we devoted completely to water baptism, but 2 weeks ago we began talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, and we're going to continue along that line today, the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to the opening text that is indicated on your notes, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we want to open. We may turn to a lot of scriptures today, only because I know it's important that you learn your Bible. Amen? Amen. I was reading a book quite some time ago, actually, about the most highly effective churches, and one of the warnings that they placed in that book was this, that so many churches are using PowerPoint and the big screen and what have you. They're putting all the scriptures up on the big screen, and people are getting so that they don't even know their Bibles anymore. They're getting so that they're not even taking their Bibles to church and that kind of thing and turning in their Bibles. How many of you know that's healthy spiritually? To have your Bible, to turn to scriptures, amen? And so I'm not going to put all the scriptures up on the big screen. There will be some. Most of the scriptures that I put on the big screen are scriptures from other translations than what we typically carry with us. And so just to give us a different idea about these things, and I do have this opening scripture on the PowerPoint as well that I'll be showing you in a couple of minutes. But let's read it from our Bibles first of all, and then we're going to pray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, it reads this way, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It reads, as Paul closed this second epistle to the Corinthians, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're praying. We pray, Father God, that each and every one of us would get a fresh glimpse of the need for the Holy Spirit being more predominant in all of our lives as believers, Father God. We understand, and we're going to understand even more so, Father God, how imperative it is for the Holy Spirit to have an active role in His church, Lord God. And so, Father God, we ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding. We know that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach us and to guide us. And so, Lord God, open our eyes. Help us see truths from your word pertaining to this person of the Holy Spirit and what he is here to do for us as he dwells within us, Father God. We thank you for just a fresh touch upon your word today. We thank you for hungry hearts. We thank you that even though we've got notes, the Holy Spirit is going to be teaching and he's going to help us see things that perhaps we've never seen before. And we give you glory for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As I said, we were talking about this 2 weeks ago, the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, as we're talking about church, the purpose God intended and what have you. And let's just look at this scripture from the Amplified Bible of 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It reads this way, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence, notice, and the presence and fellowship. The communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. Now, you'll notice the Apostle Paul, how many of you, again, I'm sure most of you recognize this, the Apostle Paul was simply inspired by the Holy Spirit, even in the writing of this text. Amen? And so, with that understanding, we understand that this was something the Holy Spirit was saying through the Apostle Paul, so therefore we know this is God's will. For each and every one of us to have communion, to have a sharing together, to have a participation, another meaning of that word that is translated fellowship in most of our Bibles here, a multitude of words, communion, sharing together, participation. That word is also sometimes translated as the word partnership, and implies the idea of intimacy. God desires that you and I have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit in our walk as believers in this life. And I think so often we do not really recognize and really live in such a way that we understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us in order for us as believers to carry out this Christian life that He's called us to. Amen? Amen. And so we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and communion and fellowship and His presence in our lives, partnership in our lives. We could say even His friendship in our lives. How many of you know the Holy Spirit wants to walk as a friend throughout your life? Amen. We want to talk about Him, and we want to talk about why He is in our lives and how He wants to be our friend. And this will continue at the end, and we'll see some other things about it. So we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, again, that the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul says and prays really for them. It's a form of a prayer that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the partnership, the participation, the intimacy, the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's look at our notes if you have them there. And in the introduction, we talked about a variety of things. I'm not going to read the entire one. About 3 weeks ago or so, we talked about the church as the body of Christ. We saw how every member has a function within the body, and that we're to find our place or placing within the body of Christ as He has purpose, and not according to what our desire is or our will. And this morning, we're going to continue what we began like 2 weeks ago on the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned. Roman numeral number 2 in your notes says this: the Holy Spirit in relation to the church. Now, we're not going to endeavor, we're not even going to try to talk about all the different facets of the Holy Spirit, certainly not in this session, but we'll talk about a few more things after this, but there are so many references to the Holy Spirit just in the New Testament alone. There are so many titles, names of the Holy Spirit, and many of which apply to you and I and His relationship to you and I, because when we talk about relationship to the church, we're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're the church, amen? We're the believers, and so we're talking about His relationship to you and me. Let's look here at, first of all, letter A, the Holy Spirit, and some of this are things that you know, but you need to have it and know it again. You need to know it again, amen? And I'm talking about really know it again and be reminded of this and let it be something that comes alive to you today. We all need it. We all need to realize, as letter A is, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Say, the Holy Spirit indwells me. He dwells on the inside of me. You know, when we really realize how much the Holy Spirit dwells within us and understand that, and to the degree that we understand it, his degree, things are going to change in the way we act. Things are going to change in what we say. Things are going to change in many of the things that we do when we really have a consciousness of the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. This is what differentiates us as believers in Jesus Christ from every other religion. How many of you know Muhammad doesn't live in anybody? Amen. Buddha doesn't live in anybody. Isn't that right? And none of the other religions. But we, by the Holy Spirit of God, have Christ living in us. We may not be able to comprehend it with our brain, but nevertheless, the Bible says it repeatedly that Christ lives in us. It's the Spirit of Christ. In that, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Don't try to figure out the Trinity. Accept it by faith. Someday when we see Him face to face, it's all going to register. We're going to say, wow, I don't know why I couldn't understand that before. It'll all come together, but we have finite minds, don't we? Amen? And so again, this idea of Christ living in us, we have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. There's been a rebirth. Something has changed in us. And many of us, I'm sure, would acknowledge the fact that when you accepted Christ, there was a sense of the presence of God in your life. I'll tell you, that's what revolutionized my life, an experience with Jesus. I mean, we're not talking about religion. I mean, you know, this was something that changed me. Amen? How about you? Did you get changed? When you accepted Christ and the Spirit of God came to dwell on the inside of you, did something change? I mean, it may not have showed up immediately on the outside, but your thinking began to change. Your feelings about things began to change. Your outlook on life began to change. Your vision for your life began to change. Your desire to know God began to increase more and more. I mean, something happened, and maybe you couldn't explain it, maybe you couldn't put your finger on it, but you knew that because you put faith in Jesus Christ and made Him the Lord of your life, that something about you changed. Amen? Amen. And so from that point on, I believe by faith you did, and you're here today, so I'm saying you probably did. You continued to grow. You continued to go on. You continued to want to know more and become more acquainted with this Lord that you had accepted into your life, right? Well, you know what? He, in the person of the Holy Spirit, dwells in you, and He desires to have an active part in yours and my life. He doesn't want to just have a back burner part in our life. He wants to have an active part in our life. Some of the things that I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, as I quoted from a preacher from the 19th century, I said things like this. This man, Samuel Chadwick, great quotes by him. It says, "How little chance the Holy Ghost has nowadays. The churches and missionary societies have so bound Him in red tape that they practically ask Him to sit in a corner while they do the work themselves. There's more that he said. He said the church is the body of Christ, begotten, unified, and indwelt by the Spirit. But forgetting the Spirit, men wrangle over limbs, functions, and orders. The Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Ghost. Your life is hopeless without the Holy Spirit working actively in your life. That's why churches throughout the decades have been so dead, lifeless, and not effective in what they were supposed to be doing. That's why so many generations turned their back on Christianity, because they did not see anything worth living for or worth committing their lives for in a dead, lifeless, Holy Ghost-less church. Someone once said that young people do not rebel against true biblical Christianity. They rebel against lifeless religion. Amen? And so true biblical Christianity is supposed to have dynamics to it. It's supposed to be exciting. Can you imagine living a life with an adventure with God? Amen? And that's what he intends. He intends every day to be a part of your life and to be consulted and to receive wisdom from him, to help you walk your steps through life, whether it be your job or your family. How many of you know he'll give you wisdom pertaining to all these practical issues of your life? Amen? And some people say, well, you know, in church, you got to have relevant messages. It's got to be relevant to life. Let me submit to you this. There's nothing more relevant than understanding, acknowledging, and having as an intimate friendship or intimate friend the Holy Spirit of God to help you day by day through all the issues of your life. There's nothing more relevant. There's nothing more practical than that. Amen? Amen. And so again, this concept, this idea that the Holy Spirit indwells us needs to become more and more of a reality to you and me. I want you to go home. This week, I want you to remember, if you remember nothing else about this message, and I've got a number of things yet to talk about, I want you to remember the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. So the next time you're about to say something you shouldn't say, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you that he lives in you. Amen. Or do something that you shouldn't do. Let's go and to the next frame up here, and let's look at this John, I think, oh, I got to do the review, don't I? Forget about review. I guess we'll do the review. Review from last time. In fact, let's not do the review. Let's skip it, and let's go to slide 16. We're going to skip the review. We've reviewed enough. John 14, 16 through 17, again, with this idea of indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It reads this way, and I will pray the Father. Jesus gives a promise. He gives a promise to his disciples of that day, and it's a promise for you and me. In fact, that promise has been fulfilled now on this side of the cross, right? On this side of the cross, he paid for and bought and purchased this to happen for you and me on this side of the cross. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say, helper. Helper. He will give you another helper. That idea of another, that Greek word another, means another of the same kind. And so what's he saying? And I'm going to read on here in a couple of minutes. But what does Jesus say? He's saying, I'm going to pray the Father. I'm going to have to go is the context of this whole thing. I'm going to have to depart from here. But don't worry, disciples. Don't worry. I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you another of the same kind. Another helper, somebody to come alongside and help you is the meaning of that word helper. That meaning of that word helper also means a counselor, a consoler, all these different facets of that one word in the Greek of translated as helper. If you have King James Version, it's translated as comforter. Isn't that right? And so I'm going to send you another helper of the same kind, just like me. I'm going to send you another helper. He says that he may abide with you forever. And then he shows us who that helper is. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is one of the titles of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because they need to accept Christ. And so the world's referring to those not saved. The world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you. He's saying to the disciples then, he's dwelling with you, disciples. They went about. They did miracles in the name of Jesus, didn't they? They were casting out demons. They certainly didn't do it by their own power. They did it because the Holy Spirit was with them. But notice the promise. For he dwells with you and will be in you. He's going to be in you, disciple. And of course, as I said, on this side of the cross, that ability has come to you and me. That now the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of each and every one of us. Turn with me quickly, if you don't mind, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's in your notes. Other scriptures are in your notes talking about the Holy Spirit within us. But if you look at 2 Timothy and chapter 1, there's so many things involved with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul a number of things, because Timothy is under a lot of pressure in the context of this, as he was a pastor of a church in Ephesus under a lot of persecution, under a lot of things that were happening with the church of the Roman Empire at that time, with Nero in charge, Nero being what he was, and hating Christians and blaming Christians for all of his problems and things like that. And so there's a lot of exhortations in this. It says, if you don't mind, let's start reading here at verse 13. It says, hold fast. Remember, this is an admonition to Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Notice now, that good thing which was committed to you, keep or keep guard over by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And so again, acknowledging this idea of that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we're to keep guard over that good thing. Everything goes back to the fact the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Say, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Why do I have you say it? Two reasons. One reason is because you can't talk usually and sleep at the same time. And the second reason is because of the fact the more you hear yourself say it, the more you're going to believe it, right? Amen. We're just saying what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Looking back now at our notes, let's look at some of the reasons. I've got three basic reasons with, sub-reasons underneath the basic reasons. But I want to give these to you. These are not the only reasons the Holy Spirit indwells you, but let's find out some reasons. Number one, He lives in us to help us pray. Everybody say pray. He lives in us to help us pray. I want you to turn, if you don't mind, back to Romans now. Romans, the reference is there in chapter 8 of Romans. And then you're going to camp in Romans just for a couple of times here. Romans chapter 8, that thumping noise, is that something I need to change? I just got too much hot air, I guess, and it's hitting the mic. Is that what it is? I don't know. But in any case, Romans chapter 8, let's look at this. And again, the first point here, the Holy Spirit, letter A, is the Holy Spirit indwells us. And then number one under that, He lives in us to help us pray. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Are you there? It reads this way, and Paul again, by the Holy Spirit, likewise the Spirit, that's referring obviously to the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses. Now, the weaknesses in the context of this is the inability to know how to pray, really, primarily. Now, there may be other aspects, and certainly the Holy Spirit helps us with every weakness. But then He, it seems, expounds on the weakness He's particularly referring to here. He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so, again, in this context, and I'm not going to try to even begin to tell you that I understand all the different dynamics involved with that verse. I think there's a whole lot more than any of us really realize. But the point I want to emphasize is this. It is obvious from this verse that the Holy Spirit lives within us to help us pray. To help us pray. It goes on in verse 27. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. A lot of different things with this. And just know this from that verse, that the Holy Spirit lives within us to help us pray. Notice now, going back to our notes, note this, letter A, lowercase a underneath that. Are you following me? Am I going too fast? Amen. I am going too fast. All right. I'll try to slow down. I have slowed down. If you were here 10 years ago, but anyway, I think I've slowed down. It all depends. It all depends. The notes help me slow down, don't they? Sometimes. All right, letter A. Notice this. Through the love of the Holy Spirit, we are motivated to pray. Through the love of the Holy Spirit, we are motivated to pray. And notice now, you're right in Romans. Look at the 15th chapter of Romans. I told you, hold your place, right? In Romans chapter 15, making it easy for you not to have to switch around too much, but just over here to the 15th chapter of Romans, notice what it says, beginning now with verse 30 through verse 32. Notice what it said. This is a great verse, great passage, I should say. Romans 15, 30 reads this way. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, or the love that comes by way of the Spirit, it's love that is of the Spirit, because you have the Holy Spirit, you've got His love, don't you? Romans 5:5 makes that clear, and we'll refer to it later. The Holy Spirit, it says, has been poured into our hearts, or the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? And so by way of the Holy Spirit, how about you? But when I got saved, I started loving people that I didn't know I could love. How about you? I mean, the Holy Spirit began to do a work, amen? And I'm not saying it's always easy to love, but you know what? When we tap into the love of God in us, we can love people that we never thought we could love. Right? And so there is a dynamic with that. But notice now, it says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Notice what he says. Paul is asking them for prayer. He's asking the saints in Rome to pray for him because of or based on the motivation, if you have love for me that comes by way of the Holy Spirit, pray for me. Amen? Pray for me. And so obviously the love of God that is given to us by the Spirit of God within us is our motivation for prayer. So certainly out of that love that the Holy Spirit has given us, that enables and empowers us, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to pray. Amen? Helps us to pray. Thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit to pray. Going on with this now, notice in your notes, Letter B. The Holy Spirit is the inspirer of all prayer. He's the inspirer of all prayer. Now, when we understand that, he inspires us. You know, practically every Tuesday night when we gather for prayer, those of us that are here, I pray and open it up by asking God, and we agree together, asking God to guide us as we pray and to empower us as we pray. Because we are partnering together with the Holy Spirit when we pray. Amen? That needs to be our mindset. That needs to be the way we're thinking. When we pray, we're not just praying on our own. We are partnering together with the Holy Spirit. And he is, as I've said before, he is the greatest partner of the church, isn't he? I mean, he is the greatest partner of the church, and he wants to partner with us even in our prayer lives. And when we partner together with him in prayer, that prayer takes on life. Amen? You know, it's when the church as a whole got away from the recognizing of the Holy Spirit that prayer became religious prayer, became repetitive prayer, became dead prayer, right? I'll tell you, you know, and again, you go to services sometimes and what have you, and you know that the preacher or whomever is just reading a prayer out of a book, just reading a prayer out of a book. A canned prayer, or whatever the case may be. And usually, there's no life to that. It doesn't contain the heart. Something's wrong with it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be in that. It doesn't come from the heart of the person. It's coming from the head and from something written down ahead of time. Amen? Amen. Are you doing okay? And so again, we need to have prayer that is full of God's life, prayer that is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It says in Ephesians 6:18, we won't turn there, but I encourage you to go there. I do have it from another translation in the next frame, I believe it should be, from the Contemporary English Version. Ephesians 6:18 reads this way, never stop praying. Now, he just got done referring to the armor of God and going through all the different facets of the armor. It says, never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people. And so again, we are to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit under this heading of the fact that he dwells within us in order to help us to pray. Let's pray by the power of the Spirit of God. You believe we ought to get greater results when we pray by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so recognizing that, what can we do? We can say, Heavenly Father, your word said. This is the way we can open up in prayer in order to help us to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. We could do this. This is just an example for you to follow, but yet get from your heart. Make it into your own words. Amen. But we can pray like this. Father, you said that your Holy Spirit is going to empower me to pray. I'm going to pray now. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me power to pray. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to inspire me to pray. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me the words to pray and remind me of people that need prayer that I've forgotten about. And be my partner in prayer today. Amen. He wants to be a partner with us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be our friend. Amen. In all these areas of our lives. And so whatever our situation, we need to be acknowledging him in all the ways that we go. Amen? Let's go on with this letter C then. It says this again with illustrations, ideas as to how he helps us pray. He inspires prayers of praise. He inspires prayers of praise. Would you agree with me that praise is a form of prayer, right? If the basic definition of prayer is communication with God, then praise certainly would be a form of prayer because we're communicating our love. We're giving him worship. We're giving him praise. So it's certainly, some have suggested that praise and worship is the highest level, the highest form of prayer, because it's not asking for anything. For one thing, it is just giving to him the praise that is due him, right? And so we believe that he will inspire the prayer of praise as well. And it gives the reference here of Ephesians. I'll give the reference. It's written here, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Many of you know it. Many of you may not, but you can look it up because of time's sake. But it talks about the fact that we are not to be filled with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And then it says, by speaking amongst ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord. And so another way of understanding, notice the three types of singing mentioned in that passage was what? Psalms, they sang from the actual book of Psalms or books of Psalms in the Old Testament. So psalms, hymns, composed songs, if you will, and spiritual songs, or could have been translated songs given by the Spirit. Spiritual song, songs given by the Spirit. It could be singing in the Spirit in terms of other tongues, your spiritual language, but it could include much more than that. There can be a song given by the Spirit that we're worshiping in our own language, but we're worshiping in a spontaneous way. We're worshiping and praising songs inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Others have been inspired by the Holy Spirit and written songs, haven't they? Written songs that God's hand was on, because God inspires songs, doesn't he? God invented music. He invented singing, didn't he? Amen. And he wants to inspire our prayer of praise, inspire our prayer of praise. And so, you know, it's legitimate. It's scriptural at times. You know, we sing songs that we know, we have the words up there, but then there's times where we just need to just enter right in, just flow right in and just begin to sing from our heart, spontaneous songs, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us in praising him, not just in a corporate setting, but at home. Begin to praise him. Begin to sing to him in your own words, expressing your love from your heart, not necessarily a song that is written, which is fine, but a song that just comes and is really an outpouring of your heart and affection for God, for all that he's done for you. Amen. He wants to inspire our prayer of praise as well. Again, reasons why the Holy Spirit lives in us. All right, now, letter D, he inspires praying in tongues. And I know that in some circles that's controversial, but we believe in praying in tongues. Believe me, if there was a way out of it, I would take it, because it's given me a lot of, people have given me grief about tongues. If I could get out of it, I'd get out of it. But you know what? Then I would be pleasing man instead of God. And it's all through the New Testament. We've got to embrace it and recognize God knows more than we know. And God instituted it in order to help us pray, in order to build us up and strengthen us spiritually. And wouldn't it just be like our adversary, the devil, to cause it to be tainted or misunderstood or ridiculed or whatever, so that we get away from being spiritually built up and away from praying for things in another language inspired by the Holy Ghost that we wouldn't know how to pray for otherwise. Right. Amen. That's one of the things the church got away from, because it just wasn't popular. Wasn't, if you will, politically correct. It wasn't, you know, it caused people to be, you know, all upset or whatever, when the reality of it is there's so much power in praying in that spiritual language. And of course, in a corporate setting, we try to go by the Bible and try to explain things, interpret things, and help people to understand. But on the other hand, we need to be able to pray in the Spirit and build ourselves up, especially in this case, in that area of prayer in our private lives. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Amen. Notice what Samuel Chadwick said, a preacher from the, I believe, the 19th century. He said this, and I love it. It says, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. And that's why many times you're so tempted not to pray. You're so tempted not to pray, because as he tempts believers to do things they shouldn't do, he'll also tempt believers to not do things they should do. He trembles when we pray. Next time you're tempted not to pray, begin to think, you know what, the devil trembles when I pray. And so just out of sheer desire to scare him, just start praying. Start praying. Start interceding. Start getting close to God and come boldly to that throne of grace. Amen? All right, so the first thing that we're talking about anyway in relationship to the church and the Holy Spirit indwells us, number one today, is to help us to pray. Number two, we come to that. Are you with me? Everybody with me? He lives in us to bring us comfort. He lives in us to bring us comfort. Our sister on the video talked about the Holy Spirit bringing comfort. She commented that she could sure use some of that. How many of you would agree that there are many times that you could use some comfort? Amen? Well, the Holy Spirit indwells us to minister comfort, to help us receive that consoling when we need it. And He can comfort us in ways no other human being can. He can comfort us in ways that are beyond even our ability to articulate, because it's something deep within many times. Amen? And so He is called the Comforter, as I commented before with the word helper. The parakletos in the Greek is the word Comforter, and He is the Comforter. John 14:16, we already read it, that I will send you another Comforter. He is our Comforter. Notice as it goes on with that letter A underneath, as such, He, letter A, provides supernatural joy to believers. As our Comforter, He provides supernatural joy to you and me. When we're going through, when do we need that minister more than any other time? When we're going through trouble, when we're going through trials. As I believe the word of the Lord was concerning those wanting to give up, I want you to know that there is a supernatural joy. There is a supernatural joy living within you, because there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17 is a reference in your notes there. Romans 14:17 reads this way, that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got joy. Now don't get all caught up with ghosts. Ooh, don't get all caught up with ghosts. It's Holy Spirit, same word, pneuma in the Greek, meaning the same thing. Some people said, you know, Holy Ghost is the way the Pentecostals say it, and Holy Spirit's the way other people say it, but it's the Holy Spirit every time. Amen? And so joy in the Holy Ghost, joy in the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you do if you say, then you've got that joy, and I want to remind you of that today. I want to remind you of that joy. Because when you're going through life struggles, how many of you know that sometimes you forget that you got that joy? Amen. It gets buried down on the inside there, right? It gets kind of squelched or overwhelmed by other things or whatever. But you need to remember that you've got the joy that comes with the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And that is one way that He provides you with supernatural comfort. That's the way, one way the Comforter shows up, by ministering joy. One way you can stir up that joy, because you need to stir that joy up sometimes, right? It's kind of like when you open up, I've been doing this a little bit lately, when you open up a can of paint that's been there a while. How many of you know you don't want to use that paint until you've stirred that up? Amen? You got to stir that paint up. And I think a lot of us are like that can of paint. There's joy in there, but man, it needs to be stirred up, right? You don't want to start trying to live or paint in life, if you will, without stirring up that joy. You got to stir up that joy. And one way that you do that is begin to read the promises of God. Begin to read the Psalms. One of the things the Psalms would do for you is bring you comfort and remind you of the joys of God. Amen? And so just begin to do that. Stir yourself up. Begin to say, no, I got the Holy Ghost, and so the joy of the Lord is in me. Amen? And begin to say what the Word says and stir up that joy. Praise God. And so one way He brings us comfort is by this supernatural joy He's given within us. And there's other scriptures you can look up as well. Letter B, one way that He brings us comfort is He edifies and strengthens the church. He edifies and strengthens the church. There's a reference there I'd like you to go to, Acts chapter 9, if you don't mind. The book of Acts in chapter 9. Are you getting anything out of this? Acts chapter 9. And let's just read here verse 31. After they had gone through all sorts of things the church had and what have you, it says in verse 31 of Acts chapter 9, are you there? It says this, then the churches, now that's plural, so it's talking about the individual groups, the assemblies that gathered together, the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot to that verse of Scripture, I think. And one of the things that you'll notice in that Scripture, it talks about all the churches throughout that vast area. That's a vast area of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. They were walking in peace. They were being edified or strengthened. And it goes on, it says, they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And in walking in that way, they were multiplying. There were more people being added. Yeah. The Holy Spirit was ministering comfort. The Holy Spirit was ministering strength. The Holy Spirit was fortifying their lives as they went on, walking in the fear of God. And it says that the church was being multiplied, not just added to, but multiplied. There was multiplication of people being brought into the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so again, this concept of that He brings us comfort. Notice it's comfort by the Holy Spirit. Comfort by the Holy Spirit. And one of the attributes of that is the fact that there's peace, there's strengthening, and all these various things. He wants to strengthen you. If you feel weak today, I want you to know the Holy Spirit indwells you so that you will be strengthened, so that you'll receive the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord is available to you and me as we understand that the Holy Spirit indwells us, lives on the inside of us. Look up on the big screen if you don't mind. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 16 is the next passage here from the Amplified. Notice part of Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was this: may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. I want to stop right there. God's got a rich treasury of his glory. And out of that rich treasury of his glory, he provides you with strength. His glory is his presence. And so if you can envision the treasury, like a big treasure chest, and this is sort of symbolic of his presence, and out of the treasure of his presence, he's got strengthening and reinforcement for your life. And Paul prays this: glory be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power. Where? In the inner man. How? By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. You know, Paul prayed that for the Ephesians. You can pray that for yourself. You can say, Father, would you grant for me? I'm feeling weak, Lord. Be honest before God. Amen. I'm feeling weak, Lord, but would you grant to me this out of your rich treasury of your glory? Would you grant to me this strengthening, this reinforcement from your Holy Spirit who indwells me? I need that supernatural infusion of your strengthening right now. I believe God will show up and you'll experience that, don't you, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you reach the end of your strength, thank God there's a booster strength. Amen. Get you through there. And that's the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on with this. Are you getting something here? We're talking about he lives in us, yes, to help us pray, number one. Number two, he lives in us to bring us comfort. He does that by providing supernatural joy, by edifying and strengthening the church. He's available. He lives in you. When you think about him living in you, man, there's no one stronger than God himself, and he lives in you. And then let her see, another way he brings us comfort is he imparts the love of God into our hearts. I quoted it earlier, Romans 5 and verses 3 through 5. Verse 5 specifically says the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now think about that. That, yes, is there in order for us to be empowered to love other people. But think about it another way as well. It is there in order so that you might recognize and realize his love for you. And really in the context, it no doubt means more that way than you loving others. It's his love for you. We love others because of his love for us. We're empowered to love others, right? And so the way it really is, because in the context of Romans 5, it's talking about we've been justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God. It talks about glorying in tribulation and all of this idea about hope and whatever. And then he says, for the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. He's saying that God's love and your understanding, your enlightenment to God's love is what will bring you through every tribulation and bring you an understanding of hope, because he loves you no matter what you're going through, and that love will empower you to get through it. Amen? Doesn't that bring comfort? His love and understanding, getting a revelation of his love will bring comfort to us. Amen? And so out of that comforter, the Holy Spirit, he ministers the idea that he loves us. Letter D, he imparts hope. Everybody say hope. How many of you know that we need hope in this world? Amen? We need that expectation of good things. Now, over here in Romans, if you don't mind turning back there, now to Romans, right after the book of Acts, chapter 15 of Romans, then you hold your place there for a couple of times here. But in Romans chapter 15, now don't get nervous. If you've already looked at the second side, you know there's hardly anything left. So don't get nervous, all right? I didn't fill up that second side. Amen. I knew I had plenty to talk about. Plenty to talk about. It says here in Romans chapter 15, and notice here, verse 13 is in your notes. The reference is there. It says this. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let me just comment on that. How many of you know that there is joy and peace when you believe God? There's joy and peace in believing. That means there's not depression and turmoil in your mind. When you're really in faith, you're not depressed. When you're really in faith, you're not in turmoil and worry, right? When you're really in faith, there's joy and peace, isn't there? Joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit indwells us to impart hope. In the midst of a hopeless situation, he lives in us to impart hope to us. And that idea of hope is a joyful expectation of better things. And so whenever we're going through certain things, that impartation of hope, just an expectation. You know what? Things are coming. I'm coming through it. That expectation, I'm gonna overcome. That expectation that I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. The mountain's got to go. The giant's going to die. I've got hope. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. by way of the Holy Spirit imparting that to us. And then lastly, for this particular point of comforting us, he brings us comfort. Letter E, he teaches us the comfort of the Scriptures, which is exactly what it says, that there's the comfort of the Scriptures. The Scriptures will bring you comfort. The Scriptures will minister hope to you as well. All right, and so what do we got? The Holy Spirit indwells us, number one, to help us to pray. Number two, he lives in us to bring us comfort in a variety of ways in which that's done. And then number three, he lives in us. Are you ready? He lives in us in order to open the Scriptures to us. Now, again, these are not the only three reasons, but these are some to start with. He lives in us in order to open the Scriptures to us. Amen. Now, in John 14, if you don't mind going back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, we're winding this down. We're doing good. Everybody's doing good, right? John chapter 14. And verse 26, this is again part of the promise of Jesus, but on this side of the cross, it's fulfilled for you and me. It says in John 14 and verse 26, Jesus again saying this, but when the helper, there's that same Greek word, we talked about the helper before, the comforter, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. I will send him from the Father, and he will testify of me. He will testify of me. Now, if you look over here also into chapter 16 and verse 13, we'll see it again in a minute. It says this in chapter 16 now in verse 13. It says, however, when the Spirit of truth will come, he will guide you into all truth. Are you there? Chapter 16 now, verse 13. He will guide you into all truth, for he will speak on. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Man, I'll tell you, what a treasure we have with the fact the Holy Spirit indwells us. He opens up the Scriptures to us. As such, notice what it says. Letter A, he reveals the things of God. I encourage you to go to 1 Corinthians on your own time, chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. It talks about this. It says, it quotes from the Old Testament, and it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But yet it goes on, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen? And so these things have been revealed. It goes on and refers to the Holy Spirit as one who is teaching us through the Scripture, through the understanding of the Word of God. Thank God the author of the book lives in us. Amen. The author of the book lives in us. Going on with that, letter B, occasionally, again, as one who lives in us to open up the Scriptures, occasionally he might reveal the future to us. Now, you can't count on that every time. You couldn't handle it. Amen? But occasionally, we see him revealing the future. We just read that he will tell us of things to come. John 16, isn't that right? And verse 13 that we just read. He will tell us of things to come. Not all the time, but sometimes he will. He'll warn you. He'll give you an inkling on the inside. There'll be a knowing on the inside not to do or not to go a certain place. How many of you had that happen? Just something on the inside. Say, you know, don't go that direction. Go a different way. And you just had this thing. Why? Because there was something in your future that would be not good for you going that way, right? And so it talks about in Luke 2:26, Simeon was an old man when Jesus was born, and God had already revealed to Simeon under the old covenant, had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And of course he had seen Jesus, and he was way up there in age. I believe the 90s. I used to know, but I can't recall right now. And so God revealed the future to him. Acts 21:11 talks about the prophet Agabus knew something about what was going to happen to Paul. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us concerning the future. Not always, but sometimes. Going on to the second page, letter C. It says, concerning the Holy Spirit teaching us, opening the Scriptures to us, letter C, brings the words of Christ to our remembrance. That's why you should never say as a believer, I don't have a good memory. How many of you know that's a lie? That's a lie. You don't need to be saying it. No, the Lord, the Holy Ghost brings to mind remembrance what the Word has to say. Amen. I think he'll help you with other things as well if you trust him. Amen. But he'll certainly help you. People say to me sometimes, I can't memorize the Scripture. Yes, you can. That's a lie. Bible says the Holy Ghost has been given to you to help you memorize the Scriptures, right? To help you remember of the Scriptures. Amen. And so he'll open the Scriptures, help you to remember them. Letter D, teaches saints. As the Holy Spirit is our one that opens the Word, he teaches saints to answer persecutors. If you read those Scriptures, you'll see that Jesus said to his disciples, applies to you and me, that when they take you and set you before councils and judges, he said, don't take any thought about what you're going to say, because at that moment, the Holy Ghost is going to give you the words to say. At that moment, he's going to help you. Letter E, the Holy Spirit dwells in us in order to open up the Scriptures to us. Letter E, in order to enable us to speak and to minister. To enable us to speak and to minister. 1 Peter 4:11 says this. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him minister according to the ability that God gives. Well, God gives his abilities by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He gives his abilities to people by way of the Holy Spirit. So letter E is he dwells in us in order to enable us to speak and minister. Letter F, he guides us. He lives in us in order to guide us into all truth. I want to encourage you to take these things, meditate on them, you know, write them, highlight them in your Bibles. Begin to remember, hey, he wants to guide me into truth. He wants to guide me in my life. Amen. He wants to help me with praying. He wants to help me with understanding God's love. He wants to help me to bring comfort and peace and joy. He wants to help me with joy. Joy is in me. Amen. You need to remember these things. Because you know what? When you don't remember these things, you live a defeated life. Jesus came that we might live a life of victory. Amen. He wants us to live a life of victory. And one way we live a life of victory is by tapping into the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Tapping into the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then finally, letter G, I wanted to elaborate on this. Maybe next time we'll see. But he, the Holy Spirit, opens up the scriptures in order to help us discern false doctrine. To help us discern false doctrine. And in 1 John 2:19 through 27, you can see that John is exhorting the believers that he was writing to and said, I'm writing these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. But then he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. He said, you've got the Holy Spirit. The anointing and the Holy Spirit are many times synonymous. And he said, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And you can discern what is right, what is wrong. And you can tell what's false doctrine or true. Amen? So he's here to keep you safe from those things. But this all began as I was discussing with you this idea. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. He wants to be your partner in life. He wants to be the one that helps you pray. He wants to be the one to help you in times when you need comfort. He wants to be the one that helps to open up the scriptures and helps you to understand what the Word of God is saying. Amen? But I want to encourage you. You know, this idea of friendship with God, of course, you know, Facebook's just an illustration. But he wants you to talk to him. And he wants to talk to your heart. Amen? And communicate and help guide you, even in ministering to other people. Amen? And ministering and encouraging and praying with other people. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us in life if we'll allow him to. Again, he wants to be our friend and our partner in life. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father God, that this church, this assembly of people, Father, would just receive a renewed desire and a renewed relationship with you, the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray that we not be a dead, lifeless church. I pray we not be a people that set the Holy Spirit in a corner somewhere, but that we be a people that live life partnering with the Spirit of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch the heart of each and every one here today, I pray. I pray that you'd begin a work in all of our hearts, a wooing, so that we might desire to know you in a more intimate way. Without you, we can't do anything. We can't do anything effective. We can't do anything that has power. We can't even be the church the way God wants the church to be without you, Holy Spirit, working in and through us in order to change us and minister to other people. Oh, Lord Jesus, just help us, I pray.